Welcome to the latest edition of K-Rock Football's Season Countdown, an in-depth look at all 34 of the region's local football clubs. Here's your host, Tom King.
Yes, another edition. We're just rolling through this season countdown, and I love talking footy with this bloke. He may be one of the youngest coaches in the region. He's not the youngest, but he's one of the younger brigade, and he's really cutting his teeth nicely and has done for 4 or 5 years now at Geelong West in the GDFL. He's got them going okay. They won 7 games and a draw last year. They would have played finals if we had gone ahead in some sort of bizarre fashion. They would have been shoehorned into, I think, a 5th spot. Not exactly sure how it was all going to play out, and probably best left in the past. But Mitch White's been good enough to join us. Whitey, she was a bizarre old 2021. How would it have actually ended for you guys?
Yeah, first off, thanks for having me, Kingy. It was certainly a bizarre season last year. I think the way it actually all finished up was that it was actually going to finish a top four, with Werribee being unable to play, being part of the Metro Melbourne. And we would have, been pushed out, and it would have just been a top four, I think.
Yep. In the end, nobody played finals, but how do you reflect on last year, and did you make some strides, do you think, that, you know, shows that, you know, once again, it's probably been a return to relevance for the Giants, you know, in the competition, firstly under Clarkey, and then you and Clarkey, and now you by yourself standing alone?
Yeah, look, it was obviously a difficult year with the stop-start nature of it, and yeah, I guess personally we were disappointed with the way the season finished off. I think going into that round 12 game, having played everyone once, we were sitting sort of fourth, and really only sort of a game behind the top three. And then having a look at how it all played out, I think we ended up finishing 6th by 2 points. But really, we win that last game of the year. We finish in the top three with how close the season was. So we still think we were certainly disappointed with the way it finished, but I guess to be thereabouts at that time of the year is certainly, a long way from where we were sort of 2014, 2015. So we're certainly seeing some good signs there.
You played 6 games all up against the top 5 teams. Your record was 1 win, 4 losses and a draw. You probably still need to take that next step to become a team that you're the ones that other teams have got to beat, and rather than you're trying to knock off the likes of Bannockburn, Bell Post Hill, Werribee Centrals, Inverleigh, etc.
Yeah, it's a good point, King, and probably something that we have discussed coming into the last couple of years, that we've certainly always been thereabouts against those top teams, and it's probably just that last hurdle where we've probably struggled a little bit. Of those 4 losses, we had 2 under 2 goals. They're not blowouts by any means when we come against those top sides. It's probably been a little bit of inexperience, which, we think we've filled that gap now with the guys that we've brought in, with some really good experienced footballers. There's a little bit of luck along the way as well that goes with those close games, and sometimes it falls your way and sometimes it doesn't. But, you make your own luck at times as well by putting yourself in the winning position, and, that's something that we have to build upon to be, one of those top 3 sides.
A lot of coaches I've spoken to have spoken about the impact of COVID, and you touched on the stop-start nature of last year and maybe, just not being able to get some momentum. But how's it been for you as a coach as we try to get into something that resembles normal in 2022, trying to get your players up and about for a new season of footy?
Yeah, personally, I found it really difficult last year. Trying to connect with players when everyone has their own personal battles going on in a pandemic became really difficult, I found. And wanting to try and get guys together every opportunity we got, certainly was difficult. I know a lot of other clubs, and speaking to a lot of other coaches in the region, I guess motivation levels have probably been waning, I guess, from a player point of view, in that, with the stop-start nature, really 2 years of interrupted footy, it has been hard to try and get guys motivated early. But we were really lucky that a lot of the guys came back really keen just to get together. And that was probably the focus that we made before Christmas, was that, we're not here to, flog the guys before Christmas. It's all about that connection again and getting everyone back together, because that's sort of what we've craved over that last 2 years, is that social interaction, being around your mates. The footy club's the best spot to make your mates, and sort of focused a lot on that before Christmas, which I think has helped us once we came back after Christmas to get guys to buy in really quickly because we've had that early social interaction.
Yep. What have your numbers been like on the track?
Yeah, it had mainly 30s, mid-30s. But having said that, we've had like 65, 70 through training. So it's just a matter of having everyone there on the one night. But in saying that, you know, there's nights when we've had over 40 on the track. So really strong numbers. And, I think it's a good spot to be in.
You've been busy with your inclusions. We've reported on a few of them, a couple of standout ones, including Matty Iannelli. And great to see the Iannelli name's going to pull on a Geelong West jumper again. He's old man of Frankie, was obviously an absolute superstar with the old Blue West Cheetahs in the day. And Aaron Hutchinson's come with him. And you had those two and done a little bit of recruiting. Ocean Grove's always been a bit of a feeder club for you over your journey. They must get. Did you ever get a phone call from Pete Smith or Pete Davies? Come on, guys, can you find somewhere else to raid?
Well, not yet, but I'm waiting for that phone call to come one day, I think. But I've still got a lot of guys I know down at Ocean Grove. So it's not that we go to approach them by any means, and it's not the club that we try and take out of them. But, you know, a lot of those guys are mates with people that have previously been playing with us. You know, Aaron O'Callaghan was the initial player, I guess, that made the move down there. And, you're adding Justin Carey. They're very well connected, and they've got a large friendship group. So having those guys to be able to lean on recruiting-wise, really they don't have to do a whole heap. Their mates just want to play with mates at the end of the day. So, as you mentioned, you know, having the Iannelli name run around again is exciting. I know there's plenty of stories from Frankie back in the day. And, we're really excited to have, you know, Matt and Hutchie on board.
Yep. You get Mitch Lindquist and Sammy Spencer from Ocean Grove. What role do you see? Is Spencer going to play a ruck role for you? Is that the plan?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, being over 200 centimetres, I think, in the past when you run out against West, you weren't 100% sure who the ruckman was. So to probably have, you know, a genuine ruckman now, and Sammy's impressed us to no end, just his willingness to learn and buy into what we're wanting to bring. We think he's going to be a fantastic asset to us, and we're really impressed with the preseason that Sammy's put in.
Yep. Sammy Edwards will go forward, I suspect. Is there a key role there for him, and does he fill a role that obviously becomes vacant with a massive blow with Alex Blair heading home to Tasmania?
Yeah, Sammy's same as Sammy Spencer. So Sammy Edwards is, really, really impressed us in the off-season. Team of the year in the Colac and District League in the back line, and then having kicked, you know, over 70 goals in less than that amount of games for Drysdale. Can play at either end, but we probably see him playing a really key role for us up forward. He's an extremely difficult matchup. And we think he's going to be a really great asset for us.
We don't want to harp on those you lose, but you have lost Alex Blair, and it is a blow. He's been such a mainstay over the last 3 or 4 years in that forward line, and been, you know, a secret to your success. And he had some great moments last year. How big a loss is he?
Yeah, personally, like on field and off field, everyone loves Blairy, and you know, to see him last year, you kick a bag of 10 was a great reward for. I guess the effort that he puts in over the last couple of years, he's still only young, so understood that he would potentially eventually head back to Tasmania. But the door's still open. He may come back and he may pull on the boots for us as well at some stage throughout the year. But you look at the flip side to that as well. I guess at times last year, we did probably become a little bit Blairy focused when we were going forward, and teams really put a lot of work into Blairy. So without him up there, I guess we do become quite dynamic. We do become unpredictable, and you know, some guys that we've added into there, you know, you add Sammy Edwards in there, a lot of other options that we have going forward, I think it probably makes us a little bit more unpredictable, and I think we can still be really dangerous up forward.
You had Tim Brown from South Warrnambool. Now Brownie's got some links. I think he played with the GFL Giants, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I played with Tim at the GFL Giants, and he just brings some amazing leadership on field and off field. Captained South Colac, and just a great caliber person to have down at the club. Hard bodied, in and under player who can play off half back and play forward. Having someone like Moth running around for us is exciting as well.
Yep, you've lost Mark Wetton, who was a revelation last year. I think, did he start the year in the twos, and then his form was that good? He actually finished top three in your BNF.
He was, yeah. So he was a centre half back in the twos, and I think he won the best and fairest the year before in the reserves. And yeah, found it really difficult to cover Jervs once he hung up the boots and find a replacement for him. But Mark was, yeah, certainly a revelation for us. Once we brought him in, it was impossible to find a replacement for him. Just fought his heart out and played a really good role for us and did an excellent job. So losing him was obviously difficult, but, you know, you're adding in Sammy Spencer now and we think, we're in a good spot with a genuine ruck.
Yep. James Linton, can I ask where he's at with his footy? What is he doing? I'm no doubt you've got a prepared answer for all this.
His name comes up every time we talk, Kingy, but he's doing an ultra marathon, I think it is, or a centurion. So he's doing a 100-kilometre run in some point over the next couple of months. So if we're to see Jim, it wouldn't be till, you know, sort of mid-year around, you know, the June, May, June, July time, I would think.
Okay. The good thing is, though, he's a registered player to Geelong West, and if he gets itchy feet, that's where he's playing.
It's very easy to pull the boots on once you're registered as well. But, you know, Jim's a fantastic character. Really enjoyed having him down at the club. And, yeah, if it works out that we get him back on board, that's, obviously a fantastic result for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Can I ask you about Jai Bohm? Of course, has been with the GFL Giants for, 5 or 6 years now. Played predominantly as a key position player, also been able to play in the ruck. He's been cited at your training and I believe might have pulled the boots on in your pracky match against Drysdale.
Yeah, it seems his eyes everywhere, Kingy, when you can't hide much at training these days, unfortunately. But Jai's got some mates across both sections of the club. Having tied in with the GFL and the GDFL together a lot of functions and training in the off season. It's quite easy to flip between the training sessions and practice matches. But, yeah, look, if Jai decides that he's going to pull the boots on with us this year, he's a GFL interleague representative, a ruck and a centre-half forward level. But it's probably just going to come down to work commitments to Jai, I guess, on where he finds himself playing this year, whether he commits to being able to do that at a GFL level or running around with us in the GDFL. Like, he's got some fantastic mates at both levels. And we'd certainly welcome someone of Jai's calibre to be running around with us. So I think he provides that leadership as well as a presence out there. You know, he's a big fella and he's a very hard man to move off the footy. Leaps at the ball, takes it at its highest point. So I think he'd have a fantastic role for us to play in the GDFL and it'd be a very difficult matchup proposition to have if he was to run around with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you got any players who are going to struggle to get to the start line in terms of injury, or are you fairly clear in that regard, Whitey?
Ted Wallace is at the moment got a few niggles, but he's probably the only one at this stage who's probably, fighting against the clock to be right for round one. We think he's still going to be okay for our Rokewood practice match from the 19th, and then he's got 2 weeks from there to get up for round one. But, yeah, touch wood, we've got a healthy list at the moment, which is always, a good predicament to have, but also gives us some headaches for selection round one because it's certainly going to be tight in the spots.
Yeah. Ted, I think, only played the 5 or 6 games last year, so you really didn't get to see the best of him, did you? I mean, we know he's got some ability.
Yeah, absolutely. Ted was sort of extremely unlucky with some injuries last year. He was actually coming off a broken leg the previous season that he played, and the season before that, he kicked 80 goals in the Pecola League in one season. So, having him as potentially almost a new recruit to run back into the team, he had some quality in there as well.
Yeah. I've asked all the coaches this. You don't avoid the question. Who's impressed you on the track? I'm sure you've been listening to other episodes that have rolled out and probably were prepared. Is there somebody that's impressed you this preseason? You've liked what they've done and it might be rewarded come round one?
I knew this one would be coming, Kingy, having listened to the podcast, but look, there's probably a number of the younger brigade that have really impressed me this off-season. I think we're in for some really good years for guys like Blake Dye. So Blakey played a number of senior games last year, but with the pandemic and him in the medical profession sort of had his challenges with being available every week. But, he kicked 7 goals on the weekend in our practice match against Drysdale. Really lively forward, another one who's incredibly difficult to match up on. Without Blairy down in that forward line, having, a Blakey to replace him almost, it really, really looking forward to what he can do. James Pearce is another one Sort of didn't see much of James last year because of some unlucky injuries, but he's really impressed me in this off-season. I think he's going to play a big role for us. And then a couple of the younger guys that are only 19, 20 years old in Harley Holmes and Josh Taylor, I think they're going to have, a big impact, a bit of leg speed and some smarts, and think they'll get their opportunities this year as well.
Your coaching journey, where does it sit for you? How much longer do you continue to invest in the GDFL Giants, knowing that, coaching, I think, is a bit of a pathway for you and you'll at some stage want to elevate your coaching? Have you sort of got a time frame on your time at West before you look to something else in terms of, the next step up on the footy pathway for coaching?
Yeah, probably haven't put a timeline on it, Kingy, or haven't really thought too much into the future just yet. I love the GDFL and I love the Giants the path that we're taking at the moment. It's been a really good build from when I first joined in 2015 to have some relevance again. I don't want to leave when the job's half done, and I've loved the people. We've got some fantastic people on and off the field, and I think, the best is probably yet to come with us. So no timeline, anything like that. Haven't really thought about what would even come next as far as that goes. But firstly, just really focused on what we can do this year. And we think, with the recruits we've brought in and the existing talent that we've got, that we can give it a fair shake this year.
Yeah. Well, the month of April is going to tell you a little bit. Bannockburn bang straight up in a twilight clash at West Oval to kick things off. Actually, it's twilights for your first three rounds. Bannockburn at home, Winch down there, and then Anarchy at home before you round out with North Geelong in the month of April, either side, two games either side of Easter. But some challenges there, Bannockburn especially first up. You played that draw with them last year, so bang, you'll get a real handle on, I suppose, where you sit very quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the clashes we've probably had with Bannockburn over the last 3 or 4 years have always been tight. And I guess, understanding that we haven't played the last 2 years, they're still the reigning premier, I guess you would call them. So, they've always had a really strong side, and we're really looking forward to that challenge first up. And we would love to set a statement earlier that we mean business this year, and to do that, you've got to beat the best. And, a team like Bannockburn is going to be right up there again. They've got some fantastic players. They're well coached, with Jack and Ronnie taking over the reins. They're in good hands, and we think, they're going to have, we're going to have our work cut out round one, but we're excited by the challenge. We really want to go out there this year and, beat the best.
Yep. Winch, Anarchy and North Geelong are all unknowns, aren't they? You've got to be on guard for those three games just to, you probably won't have much intel about them. There'll be some footage, but in terms of, I suppose, real exposed form, you're not going to have a lot to go off those three clubs.
Yeah, you're spot on, Kingy, but I think you can't take anyone lightly in our league anymore, and that showed last year with how even it was, really. Any team can beat anyone on their day, and we don't look at anyone and pencil in points. We don't look at any opposition team and, have preconceived ideas on what we expect from them this year. So, our focus at the moment is round one, and once we get past that round one, we'll really focus on our next couple of weeks. So, it's cliche, I guess you would call it, king of the old 1 week at a time, but you can't really look too far ahead. And especially with 2 years out, to try and get a read on teams, you're playing in round three before the season's even started is really difficult. So, I'm sure there'll be some surprises thrown up in the preseason. In round one, there'll be some surprise results. And, I think it's just going to be, a really exciting year.
As we speak, you've had a hit out against Drysdale. What did you take out of that?
Probably had a list of about 30, but some of the younger kids really impressed in that practice match. I think Drysdale are going to be, thereabouts, and will be, really competitive in that Ballerine league. So it was nice to have a hit out against someone who's, probably a superior quality to you. So for guys to, have some practice under extreme pressure with your structure and those type of things is really what you wanted to get out of that. And having run around against ourselves for the last 6 months, it's nice to play someone else who doesn't know what you're trying to do and can't cheat at training to stand in the spots where you're trying to kick it or trying to handball it. So that was probably a really good practice for us to sort of set up our structures But yeah, there's some guys in that practice match really showed a bit, and I think, yeah, it's certainly going to be a difficult selection in round one.
Irrawarra, Beak and Rokewood, Quarrenhap, the other two practice matches before you open up, of course, round one with a twilight clash Saturday night against Bannockburn under the lights of West Oval. I think it's the last day of daylight saving, so you'll play a little bit of it in daylight and probably the second half in the dark. Whitey, always a pleasure to talk footy with you. Really appreciate you taking some of the time out of a very busy insurance schedule for you. I'm sure you're handling claims left, right and centre with Integral. Looking forward to settling down a little bit before you kick into round one, I suspect.
Nah, that's right, mate. But really looking forward to the year, and we're really excited about what's to come. And, you know, I guess the way the season ended last year was disappointing for us. So we're really out to make amends for that. And I guess, put our best foot forward round one.
Oh, Whitey, thanks for joining us. Good luck for 2022.
Amazing. Thanks, Kingy. Appreciate it, mate.
You've been listening to K-Rock Football's Season Countdown. Keep an eye on krockfootball.com.au for new episodes in the lead up to the 2022 local football season.